This is the Best Boys Podcast with Jessica Garcia and Monica Montoya. Hello, Monica.
Hello, Jessica. How are you today?
I'm doing lovely. How are you?
I'm also doing lovely.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Is your belly full of sandwich?
It actually is very full of sandwich. Jessica brought over these sandwiches from, what's the place?
Giada.
Giuseppe's?
Giada.
Giada, yes. Giada. They were delicious.
If you're in the LA area, Giada, incredible sandwiches.
So good.
So good.
Way better than Buca di Beppo.
If that's the bar.
Way better than Olive Garden.
Way better.
Way better than Maria's Italian Kitchen. Significantly.
Maria's used to slap when we were kids, though.
It only slapped because we didn't know what was going on.
That's fair.
It's like Chuck E. Cheese slapped because we didn't know what was going on. Like the pizza.
I would argue that Chuck E. Cheese still slaps.
I completely disagree. That rat casino, I can't. The pizza is greasy and tastes like cardboard. I stand by that.
I more meant like Chuck E. Cheese is like an establishment was good.
Oh yeah, definitely. The establishment was amazing. Yeah. I fucking love Chuck E. Cheese. I think that do they have a Chuck E. Cheese? Like, is Chuck E. Cheese still around? Charles Entertainment Cheese, is he still hidden it?
Charles Entertainment Cheese.
That's his full name.
I know, but it's really funny when
it
you
is
say it.
So funny. Charles
Entertainment
from the Entertainment
Cheese.
Family.
Charles Cheese.
Charles Entertainment Cheese.
Yeah.
I used to be so scared of those animatronic Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh, they're
and
fucking
friends.
Terrifying. The dog was just like
my God, wasn't there a girl duck
or
something? Or
she was something with feathers.
In a tutu. Yeah. I don't know. She freaked me out the most because of her lashes. They would move with her eyeballs. I hated them. And they would do a show, an animatronic show.
Yeah.
How in the Goofy movie when they go to that the possum playhouse or the ground or something. And those are all those animatronic possums. Which is so funny because I just read an article about marsupials and possums were in there.
That is so weird.
I know.
That's really weird.
I know.
Yeah.
You know, they just play dead. They're not they're not vicious. They look vicious, but at the end of the day,
with their little teeth.
Yeah. Also,
I follow several possums on social media.
Their lifespan is only 3 years.
I know, which makes it so sad. I follow so many who have died.
They
shout out Sesame, Poppy. You guys were real ones.
Little possums out there. Stay strong. Stay strong. they are born. They have a life. They mate, they have a child, and then they die. That's their whole fucking lifespan.
What is the lifespan of a raccoon?
A raccoon? I think they can live forever.
Aaron, can you Google the lifespan of a raccoon?
I feel like raccoons are...
Because I would really like one of those.
I would bet 10 years.
2 to 3 years?
What?
That's fucked.
That's not right.
God, justice for rodents.
What's the lifespan of a rat?
Oh, it's only 2 to 3 years.
So Ratatouille was only Remy, rat. He's dead.
Remy is dead.
In the universe of rats, he's dead.
Yeah, and we turned
now.
Him into this mug, actually.
Wow. I mean, it is a great mug.
It is, but it really just looks like a mouse. It doesn't necessarily look like Remy, but I'll give it to them.
I rate it on a scale of 1 to 5 as a good representation.
On a
of
scale of
Remy.
1 to Remy in terms of representation of Remy, I would say it's 2.
I would agree with you.
Yeah.
I would absolutely agree with you. But
it's that thing that Disney does where they take them and turn them into even more cartoonish.
I know, which I don't understand. That I don't get. But I'm kind of on the hunt to own every
piece of Ratatouille
merchandise.
Yeah, that's fair.
Which Jessica knows, but
I've contributed.
Yeah, Jessica's contributed to it. So I have a t-shirt from Jessica. I have a little rat timer.
The ears that I got you with
ears,
the chef.
Which those are my pride and joy. I think the battery stopped working, but okay. Who cares?
They're from Etsy.
They're amazing. And when you light them up, you can see Remy through
the hat. It's so good.
They are literally some of the best. One of the best pieces of memorabilia I own.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And anyway, all this to say, if you happen to spot anyone out there, if you happen to spot a piece of Ratatouille merch that I don't own yet, send me the link.
Since we're all so familiar with Monica's
personal
collection.
Send me the link. Do you know what I mean?
So when we have our compound someday, there will be a room of just Ratatouille merch.
Yeah, in the way that people collect Betty Boop stuff.
Right.
Or Cabbage Patch Kids or whatever, like Furbies, Beanie Babies. I saw a documentary. They're having a moment.
They are having a moment, but the moment is essentially just means that they are worth nothing.
That's very true.
So, R.I.P. So sorry to everyone who saved all those Beanie Babies, aka my mom.
Wait, your mom has a ton of them?
She used to.
Oh.
We didn't like, she saved them in the sense where we were just like, yeah, these could be worth something someday, but we weren't like fanatic like the documentary is about, you know? We didn't like try to collect them.
I think the documentary is called Beanie Mania.
Yeah.
What a title. Beanie Mania. HBO, I see you.
That's also how I feel about Beanie Feldstein.
I agree. Wait, I don't know. She's kind of lost it for me. I think after the whole funny girl thing, I just got so sad for her that I'm now just wanting her to like be in something to ramp her back up, you know?
Well, yeah, I feel bad for her, but I also love her.
I know, I love her.
That was what I meant.
It's just me feeling bad for her is like somehow tainting my view of her.
Which is sad.
It is sad.
It's sad. But you know what it tainted more is everyone's view of Lea Michele, which already sucked. And now it sucks more.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that no one really, no one likes the girl who sang Let's Have a Kiki.
Let's have a kiki.
You want to have a kiki?
Let's have a kiki.
Lock the door. Say, mother. I simply cannot.
Our version is better than Glee.
I agree.
No arguments.
No arguments. No substitutions. But what I was saying earlier, yes, like significantly earlier, I think, was if you have Ratatouille merch, send it to me. That's literally it.
Or
that's
send us the link. So send us a link. So we can buy it.
Yeah. I'd like to buy it.
Yeah.
And we'll be right back.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now back to the show.
Well, anyway, now that we're done with Rat Corner.
Yeah, sorry. Don't apologize.
As you guys know, this is the month of Brendan Fraser,
which he's having a moment right now, especially with all of the awards, award shows going around. It is awards season, as they say. Mm-hmm. It's about to be February. We all know what happens in February or March. One of those in one of those months, the Oscars happen.
Correct.
The Academy Awards. Oscar Mayer himself will come down from heaven and grant everyone the weenie whistle.
Do you think it's likely for him to win Best Actor?
I think it's likely. Yeah. Do I care? Not really.
I don't care either, but I think he deserves it.
I think he deserves it. This is okay.
I haven't even seen
it. I was about to say, this is coming from us who have not seen this movie and also know that it is like 50-50 on the scale of is it good, is it bad?
But the thing is I've heard the performances are incredible despite the fact that it is rife with controversy.
Yeah.
But I'm really looking forward to seeing it because I don't know. I like things that make me challenge my viewpoints.
I agree.
And yeah.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that it will surprise me, frankly.
Yeah, same.
My favorite movie that I saw as, you know, I think that's an Oscar contender, probably Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It was easily the most imaginative of the bunch.
I hard agree.
Most original. Although, like, everyone's having a multiverse moment now, which I don't understand.
Yeah, like, I don't know what that's about.
I don't either. It is, I think, like, think back to a period of time where they like made basically the same movie one after another.
Yeah.
I feel like we're in that right now and I don't appreciate it.
Me neither. But, you know, we'll get out of it.
It is what it is.
There's a lot of really good movies coming out this year.
It's true.
So I'm excited.
I will say when Oscar Mayer comes down from heaven and grants Brendan Fraser the weenie whistle, you heard it here first.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Also, just a friendly reminder that almost 2 years ago, we did say that Brendan Fraser.
The Renaissance was going to happen.
Was going to happen. And like it did. So
it did. Come to us for all of your fortune telling.
Yeah. You're welcome.
In regards to specifically Brendan Fraser's career.
Today, we are talking about our second Brendan movie, which is a movie that neither Monica nor I had seen. And I'm kind of surprised I had never heard of it, to be quite honest, because it was like really well reviewed. All of the actors, except for Brendan, got nominations. The screenplay won best screenplay based on It's a weird screenplay. It's an award they don't have anymore. It's like best screenplay based upon a previous work written or something.
Well, I think now the category is best adapted screenplay.
Yes, but they phrased it way differently back then.
They did a lot of things way differently back then. Yeah.
So this movie is, should I introduce it, Monica?
Go ahead.
Should I tell them about the movie?
Go ahead.
This movie is Gods and Monsters. It came out in 1988, written and directed by Bill Condon, based on the novel Father Frankenstein by Christopher Bram, or maybe it's Brahm. I don't know. And just so you know, Bill Condon, the writer and director, he won the Oscar this year for the equivalent of best adapted screenplay. And this was also the same year that Saving Private Ryan came out and Shakespeare in Love came out. This was a big year at the Oscars.
Oh, you know what? Shakespeare in Love. That was a good motherfucking movie.
Yeah, dude. So this was a really big Oscars year. These are the Oscars that I look back at. I'm like, that's the Hollywood I want to be a part of.
That's the Oscars.
And the best boy grip for this movie is Michael Goldman. And the best boy electric is Andrew Smith. Shout out to the best boys.
Shout out to you guys. You guys really come through.
Yes. And I'm going to tell you about the movie. So set in 1957, James Whale, played by Sir Ian McKellen, who is the director of Showboat, The Invisible Man, Frankenstein, and The Bride of Frankenstein, he had long since stepped back from the glamour and glitz of Hollywood. A stroke triggers once buried flashes of memory of his life in Dudley, his movie career, and most influentially, the trenches during World War I. Haunted and lonely, he recounts many of his experiences to his muscle-bound gardener. Who wrote this? Clay Boone, played by Brendan Fraser. Despite the divide that exists between them, their friendship develops, relying on his sternly disapproving housemaid Hannah, the flamboyant director whose time has passed sees himself slipping away, unable to stop the decline, and indulges his fantasies by coaxing Boone to model for him. It's a weird movie. Not gonna lie, it's a weird movie. The tone is weird. It seems
tones,
like
plural. Tones
are weird. First of all, it's supposed to be set in the 1950s.
It's not.
It's hella 90s. There was like very little devotion to the time period, I feel.
Basically, Clay, who is the character that Brendan Fraser plays, mm-hmm. his truck is a 1950s like old rusty truck.
Right.
And it basically stops there.
Yeah.
Like the bar that he frequents, his local watering hole, very nice. Like just very... Honestly, very generic bar.
It looked, okay, you know what it looked like? How in the 90s there was like the swing renaissance? Mm-hmm. It looked like that. It just looked like the swing renaissance was happening in this movie. Because there was like some costuming and some hairstyles and stuff like that. But there wasn't a lot.
No, there was very little to, I mean, I literally thought that this was just the 90s. Like I was like, oh, this happened, surprise. This all happened in the 90s, nice. No, wrong, so wrong. And I was like, wow, that guy must have lived forever for him to still be around in the 90s.
Nor, the whole point of the movie is he did not live
forever. And spoiler alert, he dies at the end.
Ian McKellen drowns himself.
Ian McKellen commits suicide and he leaves a note and it's essentially, it's easily like the saddest, most tragic part of the movie, mm-hmm. and it's thankfully the near end.
Yeah,
there's what I like to call a second ending.
Yeah,
in this movie, which we'll get to, but Brendan in this movie, I think, plays a very specific like eye candy character that is very, very popular in a lot of these like, I don't want to say stereotypes, but like there are a lot of movies where there's an older person, mm-hmm. man or woman or anyone, who ends up like deciding that they're going to be like this horny old person and like has enough money at this age to then hire help. Mm-hmm. So people who come and either clean their house or clean their pool, the famous pool boy, mm-hmm. A gardener, etc. Like someone to come to their home where they are in the privacy of their own home, mm-hmm. to like essentially prey upon these people, whether they know that they're going to do this or not. Right. So that stereotype or like that plot is super present in this film. Mm-hmm. And it kind of starts from the beginning where Ian McKellen's character is in essentially like invites over a journalist of some kind to come and do a piece on him and decides to like play strip questionnaire with
like
him.
20 questions, but with stripping.
And immediately you can tell that this guy is like slightly up for it, slightly uncomfortable. And mm-hmm. that's really like that feeling of slightly into it, slightly uncomfortable is mm-hmm. what like carries throughout the rest of the movie.
Yeah, totally. Totally. It's a really interesting, I think the dynamics in this movie are really, really interesting because yes, I think Ian McKellen is, his character is like slightly predatory, but you can tell that it's coming from him because he's like, I'm at my last bit. Essentially, he's having so many strokes so frequently.
Yeah.
That he doesn't even go to the hospital for it anymore. He just medicates at home. And you can tell that he's doing it because he's like, I'm on my last leg and like,
he's lonely.
I don't know what to do and I'm lonely and I need someone to listen to me. So you do get an element of like sympathy there, I think, coming from yourself as a viewer, even though you're like, you're kind of gross. But you also see him being kind of gross and you're like, what are you actually going to do?
Yeah, I guess it's so weird to watch it from like this perspective, right, of being like in this moment in time, mm-hmm, because I'm looking at this movie and I'm seeing like so throughout the movie, he has these like hallucinations, mm-hmm, which are, to be very frank, they're not done very well.
No.
And they all have like different tonal, like they all do very weird stylized things. And then other ones are just like, is that a hallucination or is that actually happening?
Right.
It's very odd. And it's probably easily my least favorite thing about the movie is they don't stick to one stylized version of his hallucinations. They decide to do many.
If they did, I think they would be really effective.
I agree. And there are a few hallucinations where he hallucinates like a naked man or many naked men in his pool.
Right.
And he's like smiling and being all like weird and like kind of predatory. And at the end of the day, his hallucinations aren't real. So like we as the audience member are like, okay, well, these aren't real. I guess it feels slightly better. It's when he starts to like prey upon Brendan Fraser's character that it makes it a little bit more real.
It does.
And it just makes it slightly more uncomfortable, especially now. I almost want, I want to have seen it when it came out.
Right.
And maybe that would have made me feel differently about it.
Yeah.
But as of now, everything reads extremely like weird and predatory.
I agree with that. I think the reason I don't mind it is because for me, I do really see it as like a plot device.
Yeah.
Because his whole point in being so predatory towards Brendan is because he's like, I want to piss someone off so badly that they just end this pain for me. Like, yeah. I want to anger him so much that he kills me.
Yeah.
So that I don't have to kill myself. And then I get very sad for him. And I'm like, yeah, you fucked up. You should not have done that. Because what he does is Brendan starts modeling for him and Brendan takes his clothes off and he's like, well, you wanted to, you know, draw me naked so you can draw me naked. And then Ian starts touching him.
Yeah.
And
inappropriately.
Yeah. And then Brendan pushes him off and then he punches him. And Ian's like, he's like, I just want you to kill me. Just fucking kill me. And it's really sad because you're like, shit.
Yeah. And it's funny because in the beginning of the movie, he doesn't hallucinate this, but he like essentially imagines him committing suicide, like killing himself with his pills.
Yeah.
And he almost finds it like to be a funny thought, as if this thought crosses his mind like at least 3 times a day.
Yeah.
Where he like thinks about his maid, I think her name is Hannah, like finding him. And he's like, ha, 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 how funny would that be? But then you start to think about like the actual ramifications of that. And he probably thought to himself like, that would not be cool to like leave my maid, my body to find. And so he's trying to figure out a better way to go out into the light.
Into ether.
Without being a burden to his housemate, who ends up being like his wife.
Yes.
Like, because they spend so much fucking time together. There are these like beautiful scenes of them like talking to each other. And like, even though they bicker most of the time, there's one scene in particular where they're like watching television together. They're watching one of his movies and she's like, this movie is not for me, but you know, it's nice. And she's German. I can't do a German accent, but like, I think it's really sweet that they have this relationship. And like, it's very morbid for him to be thinking this way, but it's almost kind of sweet that he doesn't want her like, he doesn't want his dead body to like be her problem.
Yeah, totally.
So in a way, like, it makes me a little bit more sympathetic towards his character.
Yeah.
But yeah, he wants Brendan's character to kill him so badly because he wants to die. And it's very heartbreaking when it happens. And it's even more heartbreaking when Brendan, like Brendan's character, comes back to find him gone, dead, essentially.
Yeah, it's really tough.
Because even after the advances, Brendan Fraser's character is like, well, I still feel sorry for this old man.
Yeah.
And I still have probably a lot to learn from him. And it would be great to still be his friend.
Well, because he sat and listened to all of his stories. And like the character's name is James Whale, Jimmy Whale. And he, Jimmy, the director, told Brendan all of these war stories or just stories about his childhood, etc. So I think Brendan's character does understand like how much hurt and how much pain like this man holds and everything that he's gone through and like how hard it must be to have been a gay man during this time.
Yeah.
And to go through a war like that and to see someone that he was connected with die in the war. And yeah, so I think it ends on like a very human note, I feel, despite a lot of like the showiness of the movie. It ends on something very, very real.
Yeah. It's really sad that like second ending.
I know.
Where it's like it's far into the future.
Yeah.
And Brendan Fraser's character, Clay, is showing his son like one of Jimmy's movies.
Yeah.
I think it's Bride of Frankenstein. It could just be the first one. Yeah. and he's like, I know that guy. Like, I knew him.
Mm-hmm.
R.I.P. Like, I knew that guy. And his son's like, nah, you didn't. And he's like, I did. And he shows him the picture and he's like, to Clayton, my friend.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's so fucking sad.
It is really
also
sad.
Like, how incredible for Clay at this 90s/50s time period for him to have so much compassion and like patience that even though he knew he was a gay man, he still very much wanted to be his friend.
Yeah.
And thought he was the most interesting person that he had met thus far.
Totally.
He moved to LA from God knows where, far away. But I don't know. There's something about how curious and honest Brendan Fraser's face is that really adds to an otherwise kind of empty character, because Clayton shows up and he's kind of just like, he's an ex-Marine. You kind of want to already put him in a box. It is what it is. He's very like hyper-masculine. He's like, I drive a truck. I got my shirt on. I go to the bar. I have sex with this woman and that's my life. Like, and he lives in a weird trailer. Like he's very like rugged that way. But there's like this level of sweetness that Brendan Fraser's face adds to this character that I think only he could provide. Cause if they got like a Ryan Gosling type or I don't know, like literally any other leading man of the 90s, you wouldn't be able to get that, like, that sweetness.
Yeah, I think what's interesting about Brendan's character and his performance is that he is supposed to be this kind of, like, gentle giant, but someone who isn't, like, highly educated, someone who isn't familiar with, like, people from different walks of life necessarily, but he's also supposed to be, like, way more masculine, like, stereotypically masculine than I think Brendan gets to do in a lot of his movies other than like The Mummy.
The Mummy.
Because what is more hyper-masculine than The Mummy?
Which we have talked about The Mummy. If you want to listen to it, go to our old Brendan Fraser episodes.
Yeah.
We talk about The Mummy extensively.
Yes, My Fear of Egypt.
And Jessica's Fear of Egypt, My Love of Rachel Weisz. It can go on and on.
Oh, yeah. But anyway, so he doesn't usually get to play these like hyper-masculine roles. And also visually, like, he's a lot beefier than usual in this movie.
He is.
And like, he's got this like weird mullet haircut and he's like dirty and has cigarettes hanging out of his mouth. Like, it's a Brendan Fraser that I don't think a lot of us see very often. And like, granted, this was made in the 90s, but I had never heard of it. So chances are a lot of people haven't seen him in this role. And what's interesting is despite being this like beefy, hyper-masculine man, he is like relatively soft-spoken, but I also really love what Brendan does with his voice in this movie.
Yeah.
He drops things very low and his voice is just like buttery.
And his laugh is like, ha 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 ha. Like there's something there. It's so good. And what I love is like, this character has nothing in common with Jimmy Whale. Like, nothing in common. Clay and Jimmy have literally nothing in common, but there's something about the way that they open up to each other that like lets them have this like weird closeness.
Yeah.
That I think is so, it's not really seen in like male friendships on screen.
No.
And it's just so beautiful. There, one is young, one is old, one is gay, one is straight. One is like really creative. The other is a, like, you know, not as creative. There's a lot of manual labor. He's a gardener. Like they are so opposite of each other, but somehow like by a stroke of fate, he happened to be hired by him to do his gardening and they decided to strike up this weird friendship.
Yeah.
And it actually works. Like looking at it, Brendan Fraser's character doesn't talk very much. Like it, when he does, like we lean in to listen because his voice is so buttery smooth. Yes. But also like he's there to listen and Ian McKellen's character is there to talk nonsense most of the time. But nonetheless, there's a listener and a talker.
Yeah.
And it's really symbiotic and fun. And I like that a lot.
Yeah, totally. And I also think he gives like a very theatrical performance because this movie calls for that. I think the script was written very intentionally in that way. Like the dialogue feels like dialogue between two people on a stage, not between two people like in conversation in real life.
Oh, definitely.
And watching Brendan do theatrical dialogue like that, it gave me, this is such a specific thing, so I hope you understand what I mean by this, but like it really gave me vibes of like when you're a freshman in high school watching the best like male scene doing a show and you're like, he's so fucking good and you just like worship him even though he's like a little mysterious, but you know he's like the most talented one there who's actually gonna do something. Those are the vibes that I get watching this movie. I get like the best actor in high school vibes.
Definitely.
And I don't know, it felt nice.
And I don't know if Brendan has ever done like a stage
I think
production.
He has. I think that was part of his bio on the last episode.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah.
That he has done some stage work.
And honestly, it's gorgeous. He's a very present actor. And it's so, there's just something about him and it's very strange because I don't love using like the phrase the it factor because I think it's really fucking stupid.
Yeah, I would agree.
But there's no other phrase really that comes to mind at this current moment that can describe it. But he has that like that sparkle, like that it factor that doesn't necessarily lend itself to like worldwide fame.
Yeah.
Like it would for like a K-pop star or whatever.
Sure.
Like you've got it, kid. Like he has something that, you know, he's a storyteller. And I think a lot of that is in his face.
Yes.
A lot of that is in his voice. But some of that is just him and his personality that tends to shine through each one of his characters. He's just such a sweet guy.
Yeah.
And he's able to like find common ground with a lot of folks. And he's able to show compassion and kindness. And it's it really does lend to his characters and gives a lot to his characters. And
yeah.
I think even when he's an action star, it's so easy for you to be like, I'm rooting for you because you're not a dick. Like you're actually nice and it shows.
Yeah. There's like an inherent tenderness to him.
Yeah. There's a nurturing.
He can't shake just even if he wanted to. So.
Definitely. Definitely. Like you couldn't put him in like, I don't know, like he would not shine in like Fast and the Furious.
No,
he
you
just
can't
wouldn't.
Like make him a villain or anything like that. Like it just doesn't work in my opinion. Though if Brendan Fraser was in a movie where he played like a hardcore villain, I would absolutely go see it.
I would go see it.
I'm intrigued. So.
So it has come to our attention that he was supposed to be the villain in the canceled Batgirl movie, which... Wrong demographic.
Yeah.
We're not the ones who are going to go see
I would have seen it. Movie. I'll see anything Brendan's in.
Which is why we're going to see The Whale.
Yeah.
Even though we're like walking
on eggshells. I'm kind of afraid to
I'm
see
scared.
It, but.
I'm very scared.
I kind of want to watch it at home. Is that an option?
No, I would much prefer to watch it at home. Like, yeah. I would much prefer to watch it at home. Just because like, A, it would not be playing in large format, so there would not be the recliner seats. And fun fact, I have a lot of weird social anxiety about people being too close to me. Mm. I wonder why. And so a lot of like theater seats, I'll have to like take a little some before I go in there. If it's a movie theater, I will actively choose not to sit in like regular seats where you can like touch someone's elbow.
Yeah, you that's need like, to be in those big reclinies.
I have like bad dreams about touching people's elbows.
I would hate to be in your nightmares.
You know what I mean? I don't want to
dread touching my own elbow.
I don't want to rub their wrinkly elbows.
We've
skin.
Rubbed elbows.
Oh, definitely. But like, I mean strangers.
I know what you mean. I'm just fucking with you.
So I want those bigger recliners and it's definitely not playing in large format because of Avatar the Way of Water.
God.
So what am I left with? Nothing. Home.
Nothing.
Well, to watch it at home.
You'll hear all of our opinions on The Whale after we watch it. The final week of this month.
Yeah. I don't know what movie is next, but
I don't either. I don't remember. We wrote it down.
We wrote it down somewhere.
We'll figure it out.
It's after Gods and Monsters.
Yeah.
And we'll be right back. Now back to the show. But that was pretty much that's Gods and Monsters.
Yeah.
Honestly, you guys, I would 50-50 on whether or not you should watch it. 50-50.
I think it's fine. It's a quick watch. It's only quick hour watch. 40.
Yeah, it's basically a tight 90 if you don't, like, they could have cut some stuff.
For sure.
I'm not even gonna lie here. Yeah. Like it definitely didn't have enough to fill out like an hour and 45 minutes.
No, but they figured it out.
Yeah, and there is this, and I think maybe it might be available on YouTube because it looks so fun, but there is this one scene that I do think the movie is worth watching for of Brendan Fraser in like a hallucination as like Dr. Frankenstein.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh God, it's so hard to describe because it's so good.
The lighting is great. He looks very creepy.
He looks so fun. It's like style. It's very highly stylized in that like old, like when the movie came out and he's in that like weird lab coat and all of the, like, there's so many like zoom ins to his face and it's so fucking funny. And the music is so kooky. And he's like making Ian McKellen's, like, he's connecting his brain or something. Yeah, I don't fucking know. That doesn't matter as much. But if you want to see Brendan Fraser as Dr. Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Go watch that clip.
Yeah, totally.
Look up Brendan Fraser Frankenstein.
I mean, you'll find it.
I'm sure you'll find it. But it's so worth it. It's worth every, I think it's like a 30 second clip max. Yeah, it's worth it.
It's great.
I love that movie.
I love it. Well, you guys, that was our second Brandon film.
Yeah.
Keep tuning in to hear the rest.
Yeah. Also, you know, we post when we post.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you.
We make our own rules.
We make our own rules.
AKA, we don't get to control our schedules.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. A small disclaimer, and I know that we say this like every once in a while.
Yeah.
But we are very busy people.
Yeah.
One of us is literally in grad school as we speak.
As we speak.
So be patient.
Yeah.
One day, none of that will matter because we'll be famous and rich.
Exactly.
That day's not today.
Not today. Today we are not famous nor rich.
So enjoy.
Enjoy.
Enjoy what we have to offer.
All right, Monica, you're the best.
You're the best, Jessica.
Have a lovely day.
You too. Bye.